right. We'll figure it out.
Oh, I forgot the marker. Okay, so we left off yesterday with a major machlekes, Harishon, developing Rashi and the Rambam, as to what exactly the machlekes Rav and Shmuel was all about. How do we get into machlekes Rav and Shmuel about tzitzis? Because the Gemara presented this as a contradiction to the sugya about sukkah. When it comes to sukkah, so we all know there was machlekes b'shar b'sila where the sukkah has to be made l'shma, and we of course follow b'sila. There's no little l'shma by sukkah. So frak the Gemara, what? There's no little l'shma by sukkah. Everybody knows there's a little l'shma by tzitzis. That's clear as day. What does it mean, sukkah and tzitzis? Which the Gemara answers, no, not a stira. There's a pasuk by tzitzis, not a pasuk by sukkah, and shine, finished. So the Gemara know for certain that there's a bit of l'shma by tzitzis. The Gemara referenced the machlekes Rav and Shmuel. So the problem is we weren't sure what the machlekes Rav and Shmuel was all about. So the way Rashi learned pshat in the machlekes Rav and Shmuel, everybody agrees there's a bit of l'shma by tzitzis. The machlekes is what's considered to be a siyas tzitzis. So Rav had a very, very limited understanding of what Asiyas HaTzitzis is. According to Rav, Asiyas HaTzitzis is only the connecting of the strings to the baguette. That is governed by Lishma, nothing more than that. The making of the tzitzis themselves, the Tviyas HaChutun, the spinning of the wool, does not have to be Lishma. And Shmuel added on that note, that even the Tviyas HaChutun has to be Lishma. So according to Rashi, Machlekes Rav and Shmuel was not really a qualitative machlekes, really quantitative machlekes. Everyone subscribes to the din of Lishma. The question is just how much of Asiyas HaTzitzis has to be Lishma. And therefore, according to Rashi, the Gemara's presentation of a contradiction between tzitzis and sukkah was l'chaladeus. It was the shaila from Rav and Shmuel against Beis Hillel. That's why the Rashi cut out the word alam tzitzis, as we spoke about yesterday. The Rambam clearly learned the Gemara totally different, because the Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis paskins that, in fact, you do need tefillah l'shma, but you don't need the tliyas achutim l'shma. There's no need to connect the strings l'shma. So according to the Rambam, there is no din of connecting the strings l'shma, so clearly that wasn't what Rav was driving at. So what was Rav driving at? We don't know yet. But one thing we know for a fact, according to the Rambam, the Gemara's question was only from Shmuel, because Rav, in fact, does not require l'shma. Not the tliyas achutim, not the tviyas achutim, nothing has to be l'shma. So obviously the whole Gemara's question was only from Shmuel, which of course would lead credibility to the Geirus of Alma. Again, that's what other Rishonim presented. So we left hanging yesterday with a mystery. According to the Shittas HaRambam, so what was wrong with the, I don't even know what these things were, the Kotzin, the Garden, if I bumped into one of these things, I'm not sure what I would, the Kotzin, the Neiman, and the Garden, what was wrong? I don't even know how to pronounce them. What was wrong with these things, according to the Rambam? Obviously not a Lishma issue. Tliyas HaChutin doesn't need Lishma on anybody, so what was the problem? So the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam suggests that maybe the problem was something totally tangential. The problem was that it doesn't look very pretty. These are very, very low quality types of wool. Did I put the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam? I put the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam Chemis? What? I didn't even put it on? Okay, I should have put it on. Kesef, what? It's there. The Kesef Mishnah says, the Kesef Mishnah is on this Rambam about the seas in the ground, etc. Because the Mishnah writes, Bistama, the reason why it's possible, has nothing to do with Lishma. Bechlal is a little Lishma, according to Rav. It has to do with the lack of Hidden Mitzvah. It's not very nice, very, very inferior, very, very low quality wool. That must be the problem. That's the issue of Rav. Mamish doesn't do with us. So now the Gemara reads beautifully that Rav said the following wool is problematic because it's not high quality wool, A, B, and C. But if it's high quality wool, the fact that it wasn't nitva l'shma, l'malav l'mayrid. Ki amrisa kamei d'shmuel, when I came in front of Shmuel, Shmuel taught me that there's a second din. Not only is there a din of hidden mitzvah by tzitzis, but the tzitzis have to be made l'shma as well. If not made l'shma, that's a problem. Even with the Eved, Shmuel had gezochti, you need asiyas tzitzis l'shma. How does Shmuel fit in with Beis Hillel? To which the Gemara continued and explained why he has a pasuk, the other's no pasuk. But the way the Kesef Mishnah is learning Pshat, he's forced to learn Pshat in the Rambam, that there has to be some other problem in the first three, the Garden, Kutzin, etc. It can't be Lishma. So what is that other mysterious problem? So the Kesef Mishnah says, the stub of the answer is, it's a Hidden Mitzvah issue. Now, that statement of the Kesef Mishnah, guessing B'das HaRambam, that's a problem of Hidden Mitzvah, that strikes us a little bit, because we have not yet talked about this at all, but some of us may be aware of it a little bit, that Hidr Mitzvah something that's disqualified because it's inferior quality? What word did Rav use? What's the word that Rav used? If I'm not mistaken, Rav said, Asomina Kotzimina Nimina Gaitim Psula. Psula is a bad word. Psula is a very harsh, very strong criticism. Psula means it's Ma'aka B'dievid. Really? Something that's only lacking in Hidu Mitzvah is Ma'aka B'dievid? That's news to me. Anyone know where that issue is discussed? Beginning of the third parak. Got to come back for the next semester. Okay, there's so many exciting things. We got Shia Shabbatons, we got Shia Lunches, we got the first sugya. The very first sugya in the third parak is the sugya of Hidu Mitzvah. Is Hidu Mitzvah Ma'akev or not? Because in the very first Mishnah, the Mishnah says Lulav Yovish is Pasul. And Rashi Yad Kazuch. Why is it Pasul? Because it's not beautiful. Because it's lacking Hidu Mitzvah. So we got a lot to talk about. Is that true statement or not? So Tosfos is on the spot in the beginning of Chavtas on the base. The first kasha of the third parak is it's not true. He admits it's not machab b'dievet. So when we get to Chavtas, don't forget Chavtas. That the way the case of Mishnah is learning Pshat in the Rambam, it comes out that he admits it's mamish machab b'dievet, at least in the case of Tosfos. So we're not like 100% miyushav with this. We're not so comfortable with this Pshat in the Rambam because I don't say it's anywhere in the Gemara. You know, we have there are reason to believe there are other gemaras in Sukkot Afir Alpam Beis that seem to indicate that this is not a ma'akev b'dieved. So maybe there's another pshat. Maybe we can have a cake and eat it. Maybe we don't have to go down Rashi's path to learn that pliyas achutin have to be l'shma according to Rav because we like the Rambam shita that in fact it doesn't have to be. On the other hand, we don't want to lock ourselves into this hidda mitzvah pshat. Is there a third pshat available? Is there another possibility to explain Rav without forcing us to go down Rashi's route? And without having to resort to the case of vicious Hidu Mitzvah Pshat in the Rambam. So the Baal HaMor has a very, very creative Pshat. Comes to Baal HaMor, and he says he thinks that the emes of Pshat is as follows. It's two lines from the bottom in the fourth of the Rambam Kaimis, Baal HaMor and Asugya. V'tam ha-kreitza v'yagayden v'anim v'shem psul d'v'yagayinim alibi d'rav. Nothing to do with the Shema. Mishum deba'inan tzitzis ha-kanaf min kanaf ve'ein gimul minim halol ur'uyen lasas mi'ambegesh and pselis ha-tzev v'ambegesh nasin k'moysan. Nu, what zog de Baal HaMor? Baal HaMor is offering us the third possibility. The psul of garden, kutzit, etc. has nothing to do with the Shema. Rav, there's no din of the Shema. It has nothing to do with it. It's not a possible b'di of it. There's another din lurking in between the cracks in Hilchos Tzitzis, I didn't prati Hilchos Tzitzis, that disqualifies these three types of wool. What's wrong with these three types of wool? Not their inferiority per se, the mitzvah itself doesn't possible, but it's a gzeres akosav. The Baal HaMor Gemara just made up a gzeres akosav. What's the gzeres akosav? Min kanaf. Torah says, v'nasnu al tzitzis ha-kanaf psil t'cheles. In the same breath, the Torah speaks about the strings, tzitzis psil t'cheles. And it also speaks about the kanaf. What is the kanaf? The corner of the beged. So there's almost like a hekesh here. You can only make strings out of something that is quality enough wool to make a beged out of. If you would bring these garden kutzin and things to the weaver and say, here's my wool, I want you to make me a garment, you know what he would say? I can't do it. It's cheap stuff. It's not going to make that. It's not going to make a nice beged. Nobody normal would ever make a garment out of these types of material. So the Baal HaMor, if you have a type of a material that it's impossible to make a beged out of, you can't use it for strings for tzitzis either. Even though in theory you just make one little string, probably you can make. That's a din, gzeres akosav, hakanaf min kanaf. And that's what's going on in between the lines of Esau. That's where Rav Pasul, the guy, the kotzin, etc. Whoa, that's like mamish from left field. Where did the Baal HaMor get this from? He made this up. Wait, you think he made it up? No, you don't think so? Let's see where he got it from. I'll take question 7. So you have to know a little bit more about Hilchos Tzitzis to appreciate where the Baal HaMor is coming from. This drasha of min kanaf, that there's a tziruf between the tzitzis and the begodim, was not made up by the Baal HaMor. The application to Sukkot Aftes, the Rav Shita, was made up by the Baal HaMor, but the drasha itself was not. It appears in Maseches Menachos and Maseches Shabbos in the following context. There is a big machlekes of Tanoim about what the definition of beged is for the purposes of tzitzis. Torah says, you have to put tzitzis al kanfei bigdeihem on a beged. What's made the beged? What material does a beged have to be made of to qualify as a beged to be chayav in tzitzis? The Gemara quotes one time, the Tanna Rabbi Shmuel, that had a very, very limited understanding of what the word beged means. Rabbi Shmuel says, the word beged doesn't just mean a garment, but it means a very, very specific material. How would you even know what that material is? So you'd have to go fishing and look in other areas in the Torah where the word beged appears and figure out, well, what does it mean in other places? So you have to really, really know. You have to know chumash and fingertips. And we know the Torah does, other times, speaks about begodim. What are some other halachas that govern begodim? Besides, it's a shatnez as an example. What are some other examples? What? Tzaras, tumas tzaras. Okay, the word beged does appear in other places, but there are some places, vidikuna. But there are some places where the Torah mamre spells out explicitly what the material is. Let's say tumas tzaras. What does the Torah say? I don't know if I said that exactly, but somewhere along the lines. Kum to Rabbi Shmuel and says, Komokum shenema v'tor v'godim stam inuela tzemru pishtim tzemru o pishtim. That since in some areas of Halacha the Torah is explicit what the word beged means, we have a right to extrapolate and say, whenever there's a din of beged, the only materials, the only garment materials that the Torah recognizes are either beged or pishtim, or tzemru or pishtim. If you chose to make a beged out of cotton, this is nishkin beged. You chose to make a beged out of silk, this is nishkin beged. A beged is only either tzemer or pishtim. That's it. Kach nemar halacha, says Tanya Rabbi Shmuel. If so, according to Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, if you happen to be wearing a four-cornered cotton beged, is there any reason at all to put tzitzis on? Minat Torah? Absolutely not. You're not chayav tzitzis. It's not a beged, I'm a Torah. So the Gemara says that according to Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, that is true minat Torah, but midirabbanon, they instituted tzitzis on Shabbat Godim. Even Rabbi Shmuel, who says that minat Torah, you don't have to wear tzitzis on Shabbat Godim, he's made it mid rabbanon you do, so don't feel bad. If you happen to be wearing a cotton beged, don't feel like you're making a bracha l'batala. You're not fulfilling a mitzvah deraisi, you're not fulfilling a mitzvah derabbanon. It's like there is Hanukkah. It's not like putting on tefillin, it's like there is Hanukkah. But there is Hanukkah, it's also an exciting mitzvah, but it's not tefillin. That's the view of Tanya Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara says the other Tanoim disagreed with Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, and Rava the Amira sided with the other Tanoim, which would lead many to believe that maybe we should pass it against Tanya Rabbi Shmuel. And Rava said no. Notwithstanding Rabbi Shmuel's convincing the Rasha of Beged Tzemer, Beged Pishtim, Evariah from the Chumash, from Parshas Tzitzis, that Tzitzis applies been a third to other types of material as well. What's the Raya? Says Rava, Rava pointed, what does Rami mean? It means a contradiction. Urminu means, we ask a contradiction. When the Gemara says Urminu, that means we, as the Gemara, the Chachma Gemara, present a contradiction. And the Gemara says, Rava Rami, or Rami Le Abayla Rava, something like that. So that means that one particular Amora pointed out a contradiction. So Rami Rava, Kray Hadadi. There's a steer in Pesukim, says Rava. Rava Rami Kray Hadadi. What material are the strings of tzitzis made of? I didn't say anything about the beged yet. I want to know. The Torah says you have to make strings. What material do the strings have to be made of? What material? Now, the seal of the cheles, that I know. I know what cheles has to be made of, that's not a question. Because cheles, the big tikkun, is always tzemer. How do I know that? Because there the Torah speaks about the tzemer in contrast to the pishtim of Ba'ad. That's not a question. The word cheles means blue dyed wool. That I understand. But tzitzis are not all cheles. It's a pot woven as well, or it's only psil techeles. Like the Rishonim, is it one string, is it two strings, is it half a string? That's a shadow of detail of how much techeles is techeles. But everybody agrees there's woven in there also, there's undyed strings in there also. So, what material do the undyed strings have to be made of? So comes Rav and says there's a contradiction in the Chumash. What's the contradiction? The Torah says, Lo subasha neis tzemru fishim yachdov, kedirim pasalacho. The Torah and Pashki say there's a smichas apsotim between the mitzvah of tzitzis and the isra of shatnez. So just as shatnez is tzemer opishtim, it's also tzemer opishtim, from the smichas of psukim, it's clear that the gedilim tasalacha is referring to davka tzemer opishtim. So the strings of lavan are either tzemer opishtim. Those are the only two options available for the mitzvah of tzitzis, either woolen strings or linen strings, nothing else. What's the rami? What's the contradiction? Dr. Rava, hakanaf psil techeles. Hakanaf means min hakanaf. V'nosnu al tzitzis hakanaf psil techeles means that you take are the tzitzis hakanaf. What does tzitzis hakanaf mean? It means you put on a string that's the min hakanaf, and you put on that, add on to that tzitzis hakanaf, psiot techeles. Then you make a string of wool, of dyed wool as well. So what is the tzitzis hakanaf? It's the min kanaf. So the Torah says min hakanaf, it sounds like whatever the kanaf is made of, whatever the beggar is made of. The Torah doesn't say anything in Parsha Shlach about Tzemru Pishtim. It sounds like even if it's made out of cotton, that's fine. There's also mitzvah tzitzis. Even if it's made out of silk, there's also mitzvah tzitzis. And what material does the string have to be made of? Says Rava, well, it has to be min hakanaf. So if the beged is silk, the loven has to be silk. If the beged is cotton, then the loven has to be cotton. So that's a stira min hayomer. It's a contradiction. What halachas govern the strings, the material of the strings for the tzitzis? According to Pasha's Kiseitze, it has to be tzemro pishtim. According to Pasha Shlach, it has to be whatever the material of the beged is. So, which one is it? So, see, a guy learns Sefer by Midbrei, walks away with one picture of tzitzis, that it's any material, whatever, as long as it's the material of the beged. If you learn Sefer Devarim, you come with a different understanding. So, what's pshat? What's the beer adopts chastira? The rabbi says, not a stira. It's a brisket teret. Two denim. Says, rabbi, there are two different options. The Torah is giving you two different options in Uchas Tzitzis. The Torah is saying is that Tzemer Upishtim, Tzemer Upishtim, a potrin the chol dover. No matter what the beggar is made of, it's made of cotton, it's silk, it's pipe, you name it, Tzemer Upishtim is a potrin of tzitzis. That's an acceptable material to make strings of. That's Parshas Kisetze. That's one road to go down Uchas Tzitzis. Tzemer Upishtim, potrin, bein b'minim, bein shlo b'minim. It doesn't matter what the beggar is made of, Tzemer Upishtim or a potrin. Other sharminim, cotton strings, other silk strings, b'minan potrin, shloi b'minan einan potrin. If you happen to have a cotton beged, then you could use cotton strings. What if I have a cotton beged and I want to use silk strings? Let's do that. That's shloi b'minan. So the only things that are objective kosher for tzitzis strings are either tzemer upishtim. That's Parshas Kisetze. And it doesn't matter what in the world the material, the beged is, that's fine. But if you want to use your own personalized strings, you want to use another thing, you want to use some other kind of strings, some other kind of material, not tzemer upishtim. So that's what Parshas Shlach is teaching me, hakanaf psil techeles, hakanaf min kanaf, that you have to use dafka, the material of that particular beged. That's Rav's presentation in Uchas Tzitzis. So it comes out according to Rav in Uchas Tzitzis, can you make begodim from other materials min haTorah and bichayav in Tzitzis? What's the answer? Absolutely, that's Parshas Shlach. What kinds of strings could you use? You have an option. Either use cotton strings or use woolen or pishtin strings. Any one of the above would be acceptable. The one thing you can't do, Minatoris, says Rava, is you can't take a woolen, can't take a cotton bag in and try to pull off silk strings. That's not going to work, Minatoris. Because that's nish pashas kisei, nish pashas shlach. Nish tzemu pishtin, nish bin kanaf. This is Rava's presentation of the sit. So again, if a major machlok is that, Rabbi Shmuel wouldn't even raise the question, because Rabbi Shmuel says you can't even get to first base because you can't make tzitz, you can't make a beged out of anything else short of tzemer or pishtim. Everything else is only the rabban. But Rava, who accepts other begodim, other meaning begodim, other material for begodim, would accept you to make the tzitz either tzemer pishtim root or the beba minim pishtim as well. How do we paskin the halacha in the shayla? The mechaber paskin, like the Rif and the Rambam, will paskin Rabbi Shmuel. That somehow Rava was rejected. Rava was Das Yochid. They follow Rabbi Shmuel. And there are more quotes. All the Ashkenaz, Rishayim, who pass him like Rava. Rashi, and Taizim, and Mordechai. There are all the Ashkenaz who say the halacha is like Rava. So the Iker Din is we assume, most of us assume halacha like Rava. That's why many people today wear cotton begodim. And you're allowed to wear cotton begodim, even according to Rabbi Shmuel. It's not even a bracha levatola. It's just that you're losing a mitzvah deraisa. So it would make a sense, if you really think Rabbi Shmuel is right, it would probably make more sense to wear a wool baguette, if it says this. Linen we're not going to wear any of this manazet, because there are other gezeris that are abundant side of it says this. We spoke about that in the past. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, if you're really holding to Shulchan Aruch, it would make more sense to wear wool, but I can't say it's also to wear others. I can't say it's bracha levatola to wear others, but it would clearly be preferable to wear wool. If you hold like the Ramah, like the Chachmei Ashkenaz, then there's no difference. The Paskin straight like Rava, there's no difference at all. The Chachil, you could wear other Minim Begadim as well. So that's why there are many people today who are machmir to wear wool in deference to the Shulchan Aruch, deference to the Rif and the Rambam. They want to make sure that they have a mitzvah deraisa and choladeus. And many other people just work out and they fulfill that they're okay according to the Ramah. And even according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's not a bracha v'tola even. So this idea that there's a tziruf, there's a connection between the strings and the beged, was not made up by the Baal HaMor in Sukkot Daf Tes Amud Aleph. What the Baal HaMor did was he took that derasha of min kanaf, the tziruf between the tzitzit and the begadim, which in Chazal was said in terms of type of material, in the sense of cotton, well, tzemer geffen, cotton, or shirayim, or silk. It was said in terms of type of material. How did the Baal HaMor extend it? How did the Baal HaMor extend it? He said, not only does it apply to the type of material, but it applies almost to the quality of the material, in the sense of, is it usable to make begadim? What will the weaver say about it? If I present them this ball of wool, so it's the right type of material, but it's not the high quality material, and it won't be able to be used to make a begad, therefore it's possible in a Torah to use for strings. Now, I can understand why others were very, very weary to go down the route of the Baal HaMor, for multiple reasons. First of all, who says what? Maybe Rabbi Shmuel's right. Right? Maybe the whole Drash Min Kanaf maybe doesn't exist. And even if Tumtum would exist, it's quite a stretch from the Gemara's application of it. The Gemara Rabba was only talking in terms of type. We're talking about not only type of material, we're talking about quality of material. That's a whole other ball game. So the Baal HaMor is a big chiddush. So suffice it to say that all pshatim that are veering from Rashi's pshat in the Gemara, each one of them is loaded with chiddushim. Each one is a world in and of itself. You could just see that the Rishonim were trying to stay as far away from Rashi as possible because they want to commit Kaliyas Achutim to being Lishma. They don't want to learn that Rav subscribes to Lishma at all. Any Rishon that doesn't want to go down Rashi's route has to find a new problem with the big three, according to Rav. So the Rav in the case of Mishnah came with this idea of Hidda Mitzvah, which opens up a whole world of the third parak, because Hidda Mitzvah really mastered the Evid. The Baal HaMor came up with a whole razzle dazzle shot, which opens up a whole new world of Chassidus, which may not be acceptable. So I just want everyone should appreciate that when a Rishon says the Pshat in the Gemara and Sefer Daftes, it impacts, it ripple effects in other sugyas. But the Rambam in the case of Mishnah is saying has ripple effects in the third parak, but the Baal HaMor is saying has ripple effects in Maseches Menachos and Chassidus. So each pshat is a world in and of itself, not just a vacuum. You know, you think the Rishon just sitting around, okay, that Rashi pshat's no good, let's shoot off another pshat, you know, off the top of the head. Yeah, great, you got to test it. At the Baal HaMor, at the ripe old age of 17, when he's writing this sefer, so he has to think in kol terkul, he has to have in mind the entire sugyas of Maseches Menachos and Shabbos, all the sugyas of tzitzis on the tip of his fingers, and to advance a pshat in Sukkot Daftes, which is in sync with what it says in Maseches Menachos and Maseches Shabbos and tzitzis sugyas, not so simple, not so posh. So each pshat in the Rishonim is a world in and of itself. Bizei mitzvah, yes. Yeah. So the question is, what does he mean by that? I mean, you want to say that bizei mitzvah is more like some of the things we spoke about in terms of like atzei sukkah, like shloim mitzvah bezuyas alav. So usually the term shloim mitzvah bezuyas alav, the term bizei mitzvah is usually used in the sense of I have a kosher chatzah mitzvah, and now I have to act with that kosher chatzah mitzvah in a certain manner. So if it's Neiris Chanukah, I can't count my money in front of the Neiris Chanukah. I was so excited last night. I'll tell you why I was so excited last night. So I looked at the neighbors earlier, whatever it was, and then I was like, well, you know, it was a few hours later, the neighbors were still going, and all of a sudden I had gone to the bank before, and I had to just check whether I had the right amount of money, and I was walking past the neighbors, and I opened up my wallet, and there was, oh my goodness, this is it, Shalom Mitzvah, love. Now between you and me, the light was on in the house, and the shamash was there, and it was ready 3-4 hours after the candles were lit, so there was multiple reasons why this wasn't about, but I was so psyched up about it, I went to the other room. I just couldn't bring myself even to look at my wallet. There wasn't that much there. Don't worry. Okay. Fine. Rabbi say. So usually, lo yimitzvah b'zuyas alav means that I have a chetzah shel mitzvah, and now I'm trying to figure out what am I not allowed to do with the chetzah shel mitzvah that's going to be a bizoyin. So I'm not allowed to kick the dirt. I'm not allowed to count my chanukah geld by the nearest chanukah. Well, I'm not allowed to take a bite maybe out of my esrog that's sitting on the schach. Those are mitzvahs b'zuyas alav types of sars. Here, you're using b'zuyin mitzvah to disqualify the chetzah mitzvah. That's a whole different ballgame. That's much more in sync with the lack of hidda mitzvah. So what you're really saying, what you really mean to say is that this is a type of hidda mitzvah that may be macha b'di'evah. This is more than just not having a nice sukkah. This is having a b'zuyinistik sukkah. That's what you're saying? Yeah, he uses the phrase b'zuyin mitzvah. He doesn't mean shalom mitzvah b'zuyin love the Shabbos of Chavez. That's for sure not. But what you really mean to say is that just because this kind of lack of hidden mitzvah is possible, doesn't mean that every hidden mitzvah is possible. Maybe a chiluch, a brisk chiluch with a hidden mitzvah. Sometimes hidden mitzvah is a lack of a positive, and sometimes hidden mitzvah is the presence of a negative. That's what you mean, right? Good. So that's when we get to Rashi on Daf Chof Tes in Masech HaSukkah, when Rashi invokes the principle of hidden mitzvah pasalei elulav ayovesh. So that may be the answer to Taisus Kash, because Taisus Derub Gemara's in Sukkah, where hidden mitzvah is not ma'akev. So the standard answer to that question is that not all hidden mitzvahs are created equal, and the criteria which are and which are not may depend on that. Sometimes hidden mitzvah is just, it's not beautiful, and sometimes it's ugly. Sometimes you see something in front of you, this is, it's just, it doesn't have that extra level of beauty to it, but it's okay. There's nothing bad with it. It's just not as beautiful as we'd like it to be. And sometimes, look, it's outright disgusting, despicable, repulsive. That's a different kind of a lack of hidden mitzvah. So maybe that's what the Kesmish is running. Maybe. To put it on the back burner for next semester. So Rabbi Sai, when all the dust settles, we have a major machlekes, how we shown him here, where Rashi committed himself to Tliyas Achutin having to be done l'shma, the connecting of the strings that have to be done l'shma, and that's Rav Shita. And all the other Rishonim were veering away from Rashi's pshat, the Rambam for sure, and probably the Balamor also, openly undermining Rashi's assumption. So we have a Machlekes of Rishonim here, and Hilchos Tzitzis, before we get the application of the l'shma, we have, in general, we have a Machlekes of Hilchos Tzitzis, Halacha L'maisa. There is a gezeiras hakosav of asiyas hatzitzis l'shma. There's no question about that. I mean, there's a question about that, but there is. We paskin, there is such a din. Sukkah no betzitzis, yeah. Well, Maisa, the strings have to be attached l'shma. So the Rambam said no, and Rashi says, of course they do. Even according to Rav, they do. Where does that machlekes emanate from? Why is there such a machlekes between the Rambam and Rashi? Why is this machlekes in the Balam more in the Rambam against Rashi? Does the tliyas hachudim have to be l'shma? Where did that machlekes come from? So if we go back to the Rambam, you can get an inkling from the Rambam himself where it came from. So the Rambam, when I quoted you the Kesef Mishnah before, the Shulchan Aruch quotes Mishnah B'zim Mitzvah, I'm sorry. It's the Kesef Mishnah on that Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch is quoting himself. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch wrote the Kesef Mishnah. So I'm sorry, it was that third Marmach of Matam Mishnah B'zim Mitzvah. You're right. Take a look at the Rambam back in the second Marmachemus, which got this whole ball rolling, which forced us to believe the Rambam didn't hold the Grash. Tzitzis she'asal so kusi puzzle. You know, madamba b'nei so avasal lehem tzitzis. If a goy, not a kusi like a Samaritan, a goy makes tzitzis, the puzzle. Avalim also so yisro b'lei kavodik shera. Now again, he's not talking about the tfiyas achutin, because the Ram holds tfiyas achutin does need the Shema. He's clearly, this whole halacha yibayz is talking about connecting the strings to the baguette. So the Ram says, if a goy makes tzitzis, they're no good. Abrav Yisrael does it, but like Kavanas Ksheira. What do you find strange about this Rambam? Just from a stylistic, from an organizational vantage point about this Rambam. So I would not even use the word compare. I would say compare and contrast. He's comparing and contrasting two connections of strings to the baguette. One that's a problem, and one that's okay. So when the goy does it, that's a problem. Da'aba b'nei Yisrael v'osel lehem tzitzis. This is a problem. It's exerce across, right out of the Gemara Menachos. Oh, but the Rambam says, aval, but if a Jew did it without kavana, it's okay. What am I bothered with? What's my sensitivity to this Rambam? What do I say? What's my sensitivity to the Rambam? They're both true, what the Rambam said. I mean, according to the Rambam, they're both true. But what? What's my sensitivity? The Rambam is organized par excellence.
The order?
Especially what they don't belong in the same halacha. The Rambam broke down kol ha-terekul. You understand the feat that the Rambam does? I say it every few months because it's so mind-boggling. What the Rambam did, besides the godless in Chochmah Satayr that the Rambam had, Ein L'Shar Ein L'Tayr, the Rambam was an organizer beyond excellence. The Rambam took the entire body of Torah Shebaal Peh and broke it down into Svarim, Halachas, Prakim, further Halachas. Everything is broken down, mamish, perfectly organized. To the extent that you can learn out halachas not only from what the Rambam says and from what he doesn't say, but where he puts what he does. We see it all the time. The Diyukim, the Gedalia, HaMefarshim, and the Rambam, why the Rambam put something in a place where he did. We've seen this countless times over the years, right? Many, many times. So if I was writing this Rambam, Hilchos Tzitzis, and I'm trying to present to you these two halachas of Hilchos Tzitzis, they're both true, but I wouldn't put them in the same halacha. It's almost like a run-on sentence. A halacha is supposed to encapsulate, you know, pretty much the essence of one particular theme, one particular thought. And yet here, the Rambam puts together two things. The third thing, Stam puts together, which also doesn't seem to fit. But the first two things, they're not related to one another. One is they're so not related, one's kosher, one's possible. So in the same breath, the Rambam tells you, by the way, this is okay, but this is no good. So why the contrast in the same halacha? What's pshat according to this Rambam? So the Gra has a comment in the Bira Gra and Erichayim, which puts this Rambam at the perfect understanding, perfect context. How did the Rambam know that the connecting of the strings to the beggar doesn't have to be lishma? Who told the Rambam that? If the rule tzitzis have to be done lishma, tefillah does need lishma, the Rambam paskens the tefillah needs lishma. How does the Rambam so convinced that the tefillah sechutim don't have to be lishma? I wouldn't have said it on my own. What's the engine that's driving this Rambam? Says the Gra, it's very simple. What's the engine, Rabbi say? If you would stop the Rambam and ask him, Yomadeinu Rabbeinu, Menon Emili, how do you know that tzitzis don't have to be connected to the beggar lishma? What would the answer be? It's Pashut, doesn't it? I have a Raya Baruch Migma. What's the Raya? What does the Gemara say? What does the first half of the Rambam say? If what? No. If a Goy connects it, it's possible. You know that. It's Xeris HaKosov. V'yosu Lahem Tzitzis. What do you see from that Xeris HaKosov? No. That it does have Lishma. Why? Because Imtim Tzilem, it would have had to be done Lishma, that it would have been possible because it's not lishma. So why did Chazal have to break their heads and fend over backwards to find the mokra in the Teresh B'Ksav for the din that a goy can't connect strings to the beged? Typically, it has to be the shema. Zemin Fendor says the Gerov at the Sarambam from the fact that Chazal needed a pasuk to passel the goy, licked the neck. There's a kosov is the following piece of information that if not for the fact that he's nisht ben Yisrael, it would have been okay, notwithstanding the fact that he cannot possibly do it lishma. You see from the din of the psul of a goy that tzitzis don't have to be connected to shema. He amocher. Who amocher? That's the mocher. That's the source. Now the Rambam is like a charm. The Rambam didn't just put two random halachas in the same breath. One halacha leads to the next. Because I'm telling you there's a din that you need b'nei shavlo hakom, that forces me to conclude that there's no din of the shema, because lulei there would have been the shema, there wouldn't have been a necessity for b'nei shavlo hakom. As I state the Bira grew up with Das HaRambam. So the two halachas, mamash atoli zeh b'zeh. No? Now that we have that information from the Hilel Gagoyim, who do we turn around and ask a kasha on? Rashi, according to Rashi, now it's a pelagodol. According to Rashi, it's a din that the tliyas achutin have to be lishma. That was given, that was known by everybody. Bein the Rab, bein the Shmuel. Everybody agrees, that's learned out from Asiyah lishma. That's gedidim ta'asalach lishma. According to Rashi, that's the basic thing. Shmuel is mechadish zayin that even the tefillah sechutin have to be. And Rav said that's not true. But the basic din that tefillah sechutin have to be, the Shmuel does a din derais al choladeyas, says Rashi. So Abba Zoy, there is a din derais al choladeyas that asiyas atzitzis includes the tefillah sechutin. Primarily is the nemar of the tefillah sechutin. So hodukush l'tuchta, the goyim's tying against the Rambam, the goyim's support for the Rambam. So according to Rashi, how do you solve that problem? What do you need exist? A cost of four. Typically, it can't be done in the Shema. So what just was a support for the Rambam now turns into a kasha according to Rashi.
Can you say that's not why you need
the pasuk? The pasuk tells me what?
No, meaning...
The pasuk tells me it has to be the Shema. That's not the mocha that has to be the Shema. The mocha has to be the Shema. The Gemara says it's Gedirim Ta'asa L'chol.
But I would have thought that it doesn't need to be the Shema, then meaning the pasuk.
But the pasuk says Gedirim Ta'asa L'chol, which means the Shema. So what do you need B'nai Yisrael for?
Put together.
We're going too fast. Hold on. So Kump the Goyim and says, anyone who doesn't agree to Rambam, anyone who really believes that tzitzis have to be connected with Shema, are forced to conclude the following, that it is possible for a goy to potentially put tzitzis on the shmo. It could be. Because if it's absolutely halakhly impossible for a goy to connect strings to a bag of lishma, then there would be no need for the pasuk. So now I just have to find that case. Give me a case, give me a scenario that a goy could potentially put on strings lishma. So the only thing that we could think of after our great knowledge of lishma is we go back a few sugyas ago, must be Yisrael Omer Agabov. So the minute we hear those words, Yisrael Omer Agabov, we get all excited. We start to fiddle back to our notes, if you guys like to do. I start, you know, try to find out, pressing buttons and all that kind of stuff, assuming that everything is on your computer screen is all what we're learning. I'm being down everybody l'chavs chos, maybe naively and foolishly, but I'm still being down l'chavs chos. That's part of the mitzvah, just to down l'chavs chos. So the only way, shape, or form we can come up with an eitzah for a goy, we need John to make a tzitzis l'shma. The only eitzah we can come up with is what, everybody say? Yisrael Omer Agabov. So we think of that, we're so excited, we're jumping up and down, we're dancing, that we found the case, until we run into what brick wall? What brick wall do we bump into, by saying? The Gemara says Yisrael Omer Agabov doesn't work by writing of a get. So we fall into a deep depression. We are so down, we don't know what to do with ourselves anymore. Here, we try, the only way to salvage it is Rashi, because the goyin, hey, look at goyin. The goyin is staring us in the face. How are you going to say, the goyin's looking at you and asking you, Rashi, tell me what's the necessity for the pasuk? Typically, it has to be the shmo, according to you. So we're trying to defend the Hilig Rashi by saying, hachem ha'eskini yisrael omer agabov, the gemara didn't get it, it doesn't work. So the only way to wiggle out of that kasha from Gittin Chav Gimel is to respond back to the Hilig goyin and say, what? It could be that Yisrael Omer Agabov sometimes does work. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Which great Rishon already told us sometimes yes, sometimes no? Rashi didn't say it. Other Rishonim said it, but they thought, the Rabbeinu Baruch with the Rush, who said, it's Shayach, it's Nitan Lehe Omer, that a goy could pull off things l'shma. It could be. Yisrael Omer Agabov is not always no good, it's only sometimes no good. When? Like gittin, which take a long time, things that take very, very short, even the goy can halt cup. And that's what Rabbeinu Baruch said, la halacha, by what sugya, who remembers by the Ibud, what? Ibud's Iris. Who remembers the raya from Rush? The Rush's raya from Rabbeinu Baruch, from where? Yeah. From Bismillah, right? So we already had a mokman rishonim that gittin chav gimel is not as bad as we thought. Gittin chav gimel is not that a lethal blow that we thought. Because there may be cases we could still get up. We could still fight, even after gittin chav gimel. Because maybe Ken Zayn, that Yisrael Omer Agabov can sometimes work. So the only way we are out of the limra boisei, we are holding on for dear life. We're trying to say a pshat in Rashi, that the only way for Rashi to disagree with the Rambam, for Rashi to insist that the tliyas achutin has to be lishma, is to come up with a wild scenario that a goy could potentially do it lishma, and therefore I need a pasuk to tell me apa picheni is no good because he's a goy. The lishma we're able to overcome, but the goy part of him that we can't solve. Yisrael Omer Agabov for tomorrow is not a maisa magayer. It doesn't make him Jewish. It doesn't make him to Ben Yisrael. It could solve lishma, but no more than that. So we're forcing Rashi into which camp, Rabbi Say? The only way to make any sense of Rashi Shita in Sukkah Daf Tes is to put Rashi full force into whose camp? To Rabbeinu Baruch and the Rashi's camp. Who's comfortable with having Rashi and Rabbeinu Baruch in the Rashi's camp? What makes you comfortable about that?
Worked out last year also.
Yeah, of course it worked out last year. Because I made it work out last year. Because I knew I'm going to tell you it didn't work out this year. Okay? Who sees this coming, Rabbi Say? Is Rabbeinu Baruch and the Rush right or not? What does it ultimately depend on, Rabbi Say? What the nature of what? Of what? Of Akamadat the Nafshik of it. What's the psal of Lishma by a goy? Why can't a goy pull off Lishma? The Jews training him. So Rashi up Kizak, the Mesech is Gitin Chav Gimel. What does Rashi say? Shem Chashinon Zok Rashi. We're afraid Ken Zayin here write Lishma Zok Pei Shmuel and Ebenezer. If a goy wrote a get with Yisrael Omer Agabov and the person happens to be the husband of the Kain, he can't stay with his wife anymore. You know why? Because I don't know what the get, not kosher. Ken Zayin, it's kosher Efshi Yodinet. I don't know what's going on in the goy's head. I don't know. Chashinon Shema. If you go down Rashi's route, that the whole chisaron of Yisrael Omer Agabov is only a chisaron of psychologically of its attention span, but fundamentally it's shayach that a goy could pull off the shema, If it's very, very short, like the Rosh Rabbeinu Baruch said, it could be that that would be okay. Rashi is most probably in sync with Rabbeinu Baruch in the Rosh. And therefore, we could breathe a sigh of relief. Who would have ever thought that Rashi in Sukkot Daf Tesem and Aleph is L'shitaso in Git Daf Chav Yomu? It's clear as day. Everyone, when you saw the two Rashis, everyone saw the Rashi in Chav Gimel and Aleph 2 seconds ago. Everyone saw the Rashi in Daf Tesem and Aleph. Everyone realized the two are Mamish Tali Zebizeh. Because the only way for Rashi to subscribe to a din of Tlias Achut L'shma, he has to answer the Rambam and the Goyin's Taina from the Gemara that needed a Pasuk for Goy. The only answer, says the Gemara, is to say Yisrael Amin Agabov. But Yisrael Amin Agabov doesn't work. The answer is sometimes don't work. I.e. Rabbeinu Baruch in the Rosh, which is only true according to Rashi and Chav Gimel. So the two Rashis are Mamish L'shitasoi. It's Gevaldik. Rabbi say, who else is L'shitasoi? The Rambam is perfectly L'shitasoi also. Because the Rambam was the biggest anti-Rabbeinu Baruch person around. How do I know? Give me two Rambams. That the Rambam didn't buy into this Rabbeinu Baruch in the Rosh. Not mitkhila v'yatzit, garnish from garnish. The Rambam was never misyaches to this idea of a goy doing anything l'shma. How do I know? How did the Rambam pass the Nuchas Tefillin about Ibur Ayidei Goyim? Pushed it in Rambam? Possible. It's possible with their eyes. All the Tefillin of Ashkenaz were possible with their eyes, says the Rambam, because they're all Ibud with Yisrael Amin Agavim, they were no good. Baruch Hashem, not anymore. But 1/3 in history, the guilds, the Heilige guilds, or the unheilige guilds, the guilds of the Ashkenazi countries, according to the Rambam, passed all the Tefillin, all the Sefer, everything was possible in the Torah, because it was not Ibud L'shma. So the Rambam was the biggest anti-Rabbeinu Baruch in the Rosh. And what else? How else do I know that the Rambam was the biggest anti-Rabbeinu Baruch in the Rosh? Because how did he learn Pshat and Chav Gimel? Is it a Chashina? Is it a Shema? What is it according to the Rambam? What's the nature of the Din of Achmad Ayat Tanavshka? What is it, Rabbi say? What? It's a din. What? Give me a raya. Bring me a raya. You know? What? Mumer. Whose raya was that? Of Simcha Zelig. They're dying from where? Dying from risk. So Rabbi say, the two Rambams of L'shitasim also. The Rambam that passes Yisrael Mumar with the Chaim and the Simcha Zelig, the Raiden Brisk, that Rambam that passes a Mumar because of Dino Ki'akum, and the Rambam that passes Rabbeinu Baruch Sefer Torah, is the Shitasa and the Chassitis, because the Rambam could not conceive of a Goy writing anything with Shema in any shape or form. And therefore the Rambam, as the Goyin Hat Gezocht, is staring at the Gemara that says a Goy's Pasal, as it says a Chassif, what happened to the Shema? Zem from the Raya Brua state the Rambam that you don't need the Tlias Achut and the Shema. So Rashi is L'shitasai and the Rambam is L'shitasai. It's all state in the Gra in between the lines. You have to sort it out. But this is the, what I just told you, the Gra says in about 3 words. Simcha Zelig. Anyone knows what Simcha Zelig was responsible for? Many, many things. A little bit in Yanadi Yaino. Not in Hanukkah, but yesterday, for Steinbin. Anyone know what? Anyone knows? Rasim Chazali was the one who was responsible for Steinbin landing his Bar Mitzvah Parsha. Steinbin was born in Brisk. He grew up in Brisk. And he escaped Brisk right before the war. He escaped from Brisk and ended up in Switzerland. He ended up a whole running around Europe until he eventually ended up in Eretz Yisrael. But he grew up in Brisk. So the way the story is written up, that at Rav Steinman's, before his Bar Mitzvah, so there was a Machloikas, two of the Gedolim in Brisk, Chaim wasn't alive anymore, there was a Machloikas, two Gedolim in Brisk, whether Rav Steinman should land his Bar Mitzvah Parsha. What was the Nekudas of Machloikas? Brisk, everything was the Nekudas of Machloikas. What was the Nekudas of Machloikas? So there was a Machloikas, who were the two Bali Dover? Rishim Chazelig and Rav Moshe Sokolovsky. Who was that? The Imre Moshe. No, the Imre Moshe. No, not Imre Moshe. Moshe Sokolovsky. The Imre Moshe. So the Imre Moshe was the Rosh Shiva in Brisk, and Rishim Chazelig was still the Daim. Reb Chaim had already passed away. Brisker Rav was now the Rav in Brisk. So I don't know what he had to say in this, but the two Gedolim of Brisk, the Dayan and the Rosh Shiva, had a machlokes whether this young man, Ryan Lim Steinman at the time, wasn't yet Rav, just Stam, but he should learn his Bar. What was the Nekudas of machlokes? So the Dayan from Brisk said that if the boy doesn't learn his Bar Mitzvah Parsha, he's never going to know how to lane. If you don't train a kid at the age of 12 to lane, he's never going to know how to lane. If he's not going to know how to lane, he's never going to know Chumash. And Nimr Moshe apparently wasn't so concerned about that. He says, this Bachar is such an unbelievable Bachar. He should be sitting and reading Ktsoisim and Nesivasim and Reb Chaim's and writing a new Svar. He should be sitting. He shouldn't have to spend his time preparing and learning Mapach, Pashtan. There's not for him. He should be sitting and someone else will learn, so he won't know how to learn Mishkafelach. That was the Nekudas of Machlokes. So the Pshara, I think, was, again, this is where the story was written up a few years ago, that he learned his Bar Mitzvah Parsha, he learned his Bar Mitzvah Parsha, but he didn't learn after that. So he had the skills to learn, but he didn't learn after that. I think that's the way the story is written up. So now, they quote from Reb Steinman, he was already about 100 years old, a couple of years ago when I read this. The quote from Reb Steinman that he always said that he had a little bit of Chalish Sadas, that he felt that he didn't know Chumash as well as he should have, because he didn't learn. He said, at the end of the day, things could be that Simcha Zelig was right, that if he would have kept on learning, he would have known Chumash better. Now, Steinman knew Chumash pretty well, a lot of smart Chumash, Chumash on his fingertips, but he felt that it would have been just, I heard it better if he would have been a Balkari. Anyway, you heard it here, I know Brisk in the 1930s, I don't know, that was the hot topics in Brisk 90 years ago. Okay, advice 1920s, I don't know what it was.
According to the Rambam, it says the Psul of Goyim, talking about the putting the tzitzis on the
Haggad. Yeah.
So, and but with regards to the Lishma, that's only the Tviya.
Right, so the Goy couldn't do Tviya because it's lack of Lishma.
What's the Pasuk talking about? Because they both stem from the Pasuk of Asulahem Tzitzit.
No, one is B'nei Yisrael, and one is Gbilim Tasa Lucha. So you want to know, how do you know which is which? So the Gedilim Tasa Lucha apparently has more of the connotation, the creating of the Gedilim, is the making of the Gedilim. Whereas the Asulahem Tzitzit, HaKanaf Pesil Bechel, somehow that is more connected to Tzitzit. You're right, you have to read the Pesil. Right, at the end of the day, the Gemara says, that's going on Gezula. That's not the Machfel Lishma. The Machfel Lishma is Gedilim Tasa Lucha.
You have to say that the Tasa are two different things. The two? Same
word. No, it's two different psukim, two different parshas.
Yeah, but the word
Asiya. The word Asiya means a little bit of a different nuance, right. You have to really know Lashon HaKodesh well, right? Okay, maybe we delayed a lot of times, you know Lashon HaKodesh. Not that you don't. Okay, basically, getting back to the story. So, the question, this is all. Hopefully everyone enjoyed the tzitzis dimension, but we are learning Sukkot Daftes and Aleph. So everything that we've been talking about hopefully is going to impact on Sukkot Daftes. So why are we talking about this in the first place? Because the Gemara is the Kasha. What's going on in Sukkot? When it comes to Sukkot, nobody buys into Lishma, and when it comes to tzitzis, somehow there is a din of Lishma. So we had a major machlokes in Rishonim. Who are we asking from exactly? Are we asking from Rav and Shmuel? That was whose pshat? Rashi. Or were we asking only from Shmuel? Who's that pshat by default? Rambam, by default, who else? Balamor. So comes the Balamor in our sugya. And the Balamor, did I cut it a little bit too early? I've cut the Balamor a little bit too early. I think there's Mechil on that one. Okay? The Balamor now raises the next question. We have to enter the next realm of the Sugya. There's the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. We don't know what the Machlekes are. There's the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. How would you paskin the halacha of this Machlekes Rav and Shmuel? What would you take the Lamaisa? Rav, so Mr. Alter sounds like 100% right. The baseline is 100% Mr. Alter said. Rav Shmuel, Halacha Rav Yisuri, Kishmuel Bedine, we should pass him and say it like Rav. Why would anybody think that maybe this is an exception to the rule? So comes Balamor and says, I'll tell you why. The Balamor says, it's actually in the Gemara, you can take a look at the Balamor in the back. Balamor quotes from the Ge'onim, from some of the Ge'onim, not sure which ones. The Ge'onim had a tradition in this Machlek is Rav Shmuel, the Paschal and Shmuel. There's an exception to the rule. Our boss, why did the Ge'onim Paschal and Shmuel? Which is tantamount to saying that you need Tzvi Lishma. Rav clearly didn't say that. Rav said, Menasis K'sheira. What prompted the Ge'onim to Paschal and Shmuel? You tell me. You don't have to look at it inside. You should figure it out. What prompted the Ge'onim to Paschal and Shmuel? This is Balamor speaking. What? Well, the Gemara is jumping and saying, hey, Beis Hillel, Gevalt, Beis Hillel, what happened to say what you say? What happened to the Sugya and Tzitzis? According to the Baal HaMor, who is the question from? Only from Shmuel. It's not from Rav. Rav Taka doesn't need the Shema at all. So you have a stub in the Gemara from the fact that the Amoraim bothered to present this kasha and got so tzehitzed in Sukkot Daf Tes. What's going on, Beis Hillel? What happened to Shmuel? Zeppelin from Dor that the Amoraim must have had a Messiah, but this is one of the exceptions to the rule. Now, the rule of Halakha Rav, Bisuish, Mabani, all the rules of Pesach in the Gemara are all wonderful and great, unless they're trumped by a Beferish Sugya. If there's an indication from a Sugya that the Amoraim, the later Amoraim, sided with the wrong team, so to speak, that is clearly the Nimnu V'Gomru. So the klalim are klalim, but there are yetzim klals also. Zach the gainim, it's clear from the context of Asugya that this is one of the yetzim klal. That here, Allah is like Shmuel. Which Rishon would say, from here is Nishkin right to anything? Rashi. Rashi, what kind of Rashi is that? Tosas the Raya, that Tfi has to be Lishmo? It's right to anything. The Gemara asked from Rav and Shmuel. It wasn't Machloek Yom and Shmuel, what has to be Lishma? But everyone agrees something has to be Lishma. That was the Gemara's kasha. So the Ge'enim, the Baal HaMor, who paskin based on this Gemara like Shmuel, all the Shittosom, because they learned that Rav didn't subscribe to any Lishma. So if the Gemara's kasha, Koch was on from Shmuel. What else the great Rishon is going to be forced to paskin like Shmuel? The Rambam. Which of course he does. So which great Rishon is open to Paschal like Rav? I didn't say does, but it's open to Paschal like Rav? Rashi. Now again, I'm learning Sukkot Daf Tes. I don't know how Rashi Paschal on the Shah of Sukkot Daf Tes, but at least I have an open possibility. According to the Rambam, Baal HaMor, the doors are shut. Rav is not going to last the Halacha. But according to Rashi, there's still a possibility. Do I have any reason to believe that maybe Rashi, in fact, really Lamaisa does Paschal like Rav? The taka there is no dinner tefillah lishma. That would save a lot of money on my tzitzis. Yeah, I go to the store, I got to buy this tefillah, and there has to be tefillah siyad, and they charge me more because I want to be machmir that you need human hands, you can't press a button. You know, it's like hand matzah. I'm paying thousands of dollars for these tzitzis over the course of a lifetime. When the Rashi, what is tefillah lishma? Just go to the store, buy a what? Buy some yarn, I don't buy some strings, and use them. Who said you need tefillah lishma? Just make sure you do what according to Rashi. Just make sure you connect them to the Degel Lishma. That you better do. But according to Rashi, there's no source in the Gemara to Paskin like Shmuel, because the Kash is Bein L'Rab, Bein L'Shmuel. And we have no reason to believe there's anything that's trumping the Klav, Lok, Rabbi, Suri. So why would we think otherwise? So I'll tell you a secret. We may be right in what we just said. It's quite possible that is Shittas Rashi. But in order to be able to say that with any degree of conviction, we have to know a few more Sugis. So we have a little bit of work to do for ourselves. Comes the Gemara. In Maseches Benachos, and Daf Mem Beis and Mem Beis, and quotes from Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Right here. Comes the Gemara. And says, "I'm Rabbi Demarav. I saw him in a kaitzin, in a nimin, in a gadim sula, which according to Rashi means you need a tliyah lishma. In a sisim kshaya, which according to Rashi means you don't need a tliyah lishma. Kamisa kamei dishmuel amaf in a sisim sula, bein a tliyah lishma. Good. Everyone agrees that nekud of machlokes Rav and Shmuel, that's not negotiable. That would need a tliyah lishma. So if the Gemara kitanoi, let's say that this machlokes Rav and Shmuel would need tliyah lishma is actually machlokes etanon. What's machlokes etanon?" We're talking about tefillin. The pashas in the Gemara, the Gemara is talking about the bottom of tefillin. A person decides, you know, I don't want to make tefillin out of this leather. It's like so cheap. I want to outdo, you know, I have very fancy bar mitzvahs, I have very fancy weddings. Everything is just, is a notch above the rest. I'm going to make golden tefillin. Oh, my little yingle, my mitzvah grandchild. He's got to have the nice golden tefillin. So the Braisa says that's posel min haTorah. Tzipan zov is posel min haTorah. You're wasting your time. Wasting your time, wasting your money. It's posel min haTorah. Why? It's halach mashini. It's got to be made out of leather. This is not like, there are certain areas where we tell people we want to express their creativity, their individualism, but ilchus tefillin is not one of those areas. That's why I usually tell people, like someone's chassan in college, to talk to me and say, They want to do things a little bit different under the chuppah, a little bit of a new twist, a little bit of, you know, a little bit something more creative, something more individual oriented. So I try to explain to them that there are times when it's appropriate to express your individuality, but getting married under the chuppah is not one of those times. So that's the time to do things, the way Kedas Moshe Yisrael, the way your grandmother got married, the way your great-great-grandmother got married, you know. It should be a chos, it should be a kalash, it should be aided with a ring. Yeah, photographers, maybe they didn't have that in Brisk in Europe. Some things, you know, have changed a little bit culturally, but the Etzem Sidra Kedushin should be Mamish Ish B'Pi Hashem Moshe. It's been done for the last thousands of years. So to tefillin is not the place to express your creativity and duality. So the Brice continues. What if Oshetolalein or Shopeim Tmeya? You couldn't find a cow to make your batim out of, but you found a chazir. So you pigskin. Okay, pigskin football, pigskin pair of footwear, no problem. What's the problem? Sulois, the possible minotaur, Helios possible, Vish states possible minotaur. It's got to be a mutter b'fich. There's no question. Golden batim, pigskin batim, a possible. Or behemoth tahoira. Now I have everything going for me. It's animal skin, and it's a kosher animal. Even though the oil wasn't made, wasn't worked on, wasn't tanned specifically for the purpose of Kedusha's tefillin, no. Tanakamba the Bryce says that's okay. There's no din that the Asiyas Abatim has to do the Shema. Mishimagamil disagreed and says no, even though it's oil and even though it's Behemetahira, it's not gold, it's not pigskin, but if it wasn't made the Shema, it's possible. So Machlek is at the Ramam Shemulah Noah Menachastaf Membeis about whether there's a din of Ibra or for a Asiyas Abatim Lishmonat. So comes the Gemara and says, Kitanoi. What was the Kitanoi? What's the Machlekes Kitanoi? This is the same Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. What's the issue? How is this the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel? So the Gemara is making an equation here that Tvias Achutin is like, they still give these, they still have this on the LSATs, what are they called? Tvias is to Tzitzis, as Ibud is to. Good, you get into law school, okay? All right, you succeeded. Tzvi is the tzitta says ibud is to tefillin. Just as according to half the Torah, you need ibud l'shma, so too you need tzvi l'shma. That's from Shimon Gamliel. That's Shmuel, and the Torah, the other Torah, the Rabbanon hold you don't need ibud l'shma by tefillin. And it's Rashi, you don't need tzvi l'achut l'shma by tzitta. That's the Gemara Ferish Gemara. Good, so far so good. Of course, this Gemara doesn't tell us how we paskin. I still don't know how to paskin exactly. So you have to put this Gemara together with another Gemara. Comes the Gemara in Masechah Sanhedrin. On the fifth of the Ramah comes. And the Gemara says, a famous Gemara, we just spoke about this the other day, Sanhedrim Zayim Ameis, Itma Erig Beged Lameis. A person weaves tachrichim for a person, the person's already dead, and we're making him a set of tachrichim. So the din is that a mace is also b'hano, a minat Torah, with a rufa from a whole drosha, a mace is also b'hano. Not only is a mace also, but not anything that's connected to the mace is also. So the Beged is also, the Oren is also, anything that's used for the purpose of Kvura. Let's say I put tachrichim on a mace, and then I'm about to bury him, and I decide, you know what? I need that tachrichim for something. What can I use tachrichim for? I want to use it for, I don't know, karate uniform or something. It looks the same. When I was in seventh grade, so I was taking karate. So I remember I came to my grandma to show her a karate uniform. What do they call it? A gi? What do they call it? Is that what it's called? Right? So I showed her my gi, my karate uniform. So she had one, she's an Eastern European woman, she had one thing to say to me. What are you playing in what? She couldn't understand that it was a karate uniform. In her eyes, Eastern Europe was tachrichim. So a guy wants to take the tachrichim off the mace and use it to play karate with, to do his, katas, Remember the old days? The belt at the time was yellow, not white. So as far as I got. So comes the Gemara and says, the tachrichim, when they were mamish on the mace, the zichar asabana. But here they never made it to the mace. They were just nervous. They were weaved the tzarcha mace. So, oy begle mace. Abaye omar, osav rav amamutav. Abaye omar, osav, why is it osav? Hasbana what? Hasbana milsi. For rav amamutav, why hasbana lav milsi? We basket hasbana lav milsi. Didn't we just talk about this like a day ago? Whose kasha was based on this Gemara? Chazar? What? This is the Taz's kasha. If Hasbana la milsi, that's only by dvarim which are not goof from kedusha. If it's Gufa Kedusha, and everyone agrees on Zman and Mil, so how come Atiyah Sukkah is an Asa Bahazvana? Fine, we spoke about that. Didn't we talk about that? Good. So what is the Bayan Rav? So comes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the sixth in Mamakom, Musa Mem Chesem Ebeis, after discussing and debating back and forth of Machlaikis Bayan Rav, listen to this Gemara. Tanoi, the Gemara says, the Machlaikis of Bayan Rav, whether Zman and Mil or not, is a Machlaikis at Turan. Who's the Machlaikis? Lo and behold, the Machlaikis, the Rabbanim Shimon Gamliel, whether you need Ibur or Lishma for Tefillin or not. So the Gemara just said that the issue of Ibud HaOr, according to the Rabbanon, so Ibud does not need the Shema, there's no din of the Shema. According to Shimon Gamliel, Cain, Ibud does require the Shema. But says that's the Machlekes Abai and Rava, the same Machlekes. Whether you're Dazman and Milsa, Dazman and Milsa. What does that do with anything? How the Machlekes, how do the two Machlekes relate to one another? What's the connection? Anyone look up the Gemara? So Rashi explains very simple. If you hold Hazmana Milsa, what does that mean? What does a Bayashita Hazmana Milsa mean? It means you take serious the preparation of this Chepsa. It's not the use of the Chepsa that's only critical, it's the preparation of the Chepsa is meaningful in Halacha. The Halacha is Misyaches says to the preparation of a Chepsa. Now, true, in the Machlekes Abaye and Rava, it's a Chepsa Shel Tachrichim, Ayri Begel Meis. But according to Abaye, Mid HaToyre Pach, could be Mid HaToyre, the Tachrichim become Tachrichim, they get a shame Tachrichim, even though they didn't touch the Meis yet. Just the fact they were Nasal Hashem Tachrichim, that's Azman and Ilsa. So, Zof Rashi in Masech Sanhedrin, Abaye, who takes the utmost seriousness, the Hazmanas HaDavar, he can accept this principle of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that you need the Ibud of the Ayr for the Batim Lishma. Because Hazman is significant. Since Hazman is significant, therefore it makes sense to require it to be done Lishma. Mashahinke, this is Rashi talking. Rashi tried to go on. Mashahinke, according to who? According to. No? According to Rav, who says Hazman love Milsa. All the preparatory stages before don't mean anything. The Torah doesn't. What do you mean? I'm making tefillin. Those words don't make any sense. What do you mean you're making a bag of tefillin? Call me back when it's on the when the tachrichim are on the body. Call me back when the tefillin are on your arm. Call me back. Until then, the Torah is not mesiachesis to that. Therefore, Rava, who subscribes to the view of Zman Olav Milsa, he's going to be forced into which opinion? Whose views Rava going to hold like? Who's Rava going to hold like? Like who? Like who? From Rabbanu or Shimon Gamliel? Rava. Like Rabbanu. So comes Rashi with Sechas Sanhedrin and says that if you hold like the Rabbanon, the Ibud doesn't have to be Lishma, that's tantamount to saying like Rava, that Lav Milsa Hazmana is Lav Milsa. If you hold like Abaye, that Hazmana is Milsa, then we can discuss Ibud Lishma. Ad kan divrei Gemara. Very Shigamar, Rashi is trying to remember Sechas Sanhedrin. First, let's connect the dots. Does anyone have any question how we're going to pass in the Machlekes Abaye and Rava? Unless this is one of the big six Yachid Yams, which it's not. There's no question under the sun we're going to pass like Rava. Not an issue. I don't have a list. So we pass in Rava carries the day. If Rava carries the day, then what else carries the day? But the Rabbanon carry the day. That guess what? There's no din of Ibud Lishma. If there's no din of Ibud Lishma, we send this back to pre-law school days. And what do we do? Well, Ibud is the tefillin, which is the tzitzis. So if there's no din of Hazman and Milsa, and there's no din of Ibud Lishma, then there's no din of Tviyas HaTzitzis Lishma either. Which is tantamount to paskening like who? Like Rav. So guess what? Because Rashi learned the Gemara Tzedeta, now I said Rashi because there are other pshatim in the Rishonim in what this connection between Abaye and Rava are. They're radically different pshatim and Rishonim, which we'll hopefully get to tomorrow. But according to Rashi's way of reading the Gemara, that Rava is linked to Rabbanim, who in turn are linked to Rav. This is A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. What do you call that? What? I don't know what you're talking about. You're probably right also. I from geometry, no? Transitive property of A equals B. That's the only thing I remember from geometry. That and something about angles of isosceles triangles or something. Okay. What? Oh, now you're talking. How did you know that? How did you know that? I told you that? Okay. Okay. Okay, we have to talk afterwards. Okay. So A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. I can still see at that image, Mr. Yukno, only the fun of him saying that. So it comes, I guess, scared back to 10th grade. So comes out, according to Rashi, if you follow Rava, which means you follow the Rabbanan, which means you follow Rav, guess what? Rashi, we just discovered, Rashi and Sanhedrin, in effect, Paskin's like Rav. Now we're not learning Sanhedrin, we're learning Sukkah Daf Tes. Are we happy with that piece of information? Are we satisfied with that? We are dancing for joy with that. Why? Because Rashi was the only Rishon under the sun who could have possibly learned like Paskin like Rav, because he's the only one who learned that the Gemara's Kasha on Sukkah Daf Tes was from who? Bein the Rav or Bein the Shmuel. Any other Rishon who disagreed with Rashi's Pshat and Daf Tes and Sukkah could never have learned the Sukkah in Sanhedrin like this. It's impossible. It's Rashi l'shitosa. Look at the l'shitosa. Look what we have. Rashi. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi has a theme going through all of Shas. It's only because Rashi and Daf Tes is learning l'chikis Rav and Shmuel the way he does that he's able to conclude that the Gemara's Kasha was Bein the Rav and the Shmuel, which doesn't force him into the corner of the Ram and the Balamor. And therefore, he's free to learn Masechet Sanhedrin that Rav ends up passing like the Rabbanu, who in turn ends up passing like Rav. This is all part of Rashi's theory in Gittin Dab Chav Gimel about Gol Omer Al Gavov, because that's the only way for Rashi to deflect the Goyin's Raya for the Rambam. This is all one big picture according to Halakha Shittas Rashi. Anyone who doesn't buy into Rashi in Sukkah Daf Tes Amud Aleph, it's forced to Paskin like Shmuel, Balamor and Rambam, forced to Paskin like Shmuel. If you're forced to Paskin like Shmuel, then your mama's in a pickle, because Rav ends up on the wrong team. Rav ends up with the Rabbanan, who end up on Rav's team, which is not where they belong. So any other Risha has got to go back to the drawing board, back to Sanhedrin and Vav, and relearn that Gemara about Azman and Milsa and connect the Ketanoi in a different way. So I want everyone to appreciate how the Rashis are connected to that. Every Rashi is part of the picture, and every Risha disagrees with Rashi is part of another picture. Rabbi say, at the end of the day, I'm happy to report that this entire two totally, completely, radically different ways of looking at this entire sugya and all the multiple aspects of the sugya all boil down to one word. Alma. If the word Alma exists in the Gemara, that points you in one direction. The word Alma is not. I don't think the gear says irrelevant. That little parenthesis is very, very misleading. You think, what's a con? Alma, I don't care. Alma's a little Alma between friends. Yes or no? The world's changed. You have different worlds, different views of everything, from tzitzis to tefillin to you name it, from Shabbos to Gittin to Simchas Zelig to Rambam, everything depends upon just it all starts. This is the centerpiece of the entire sugya of Tesem and Alf. Everything revolves. This is the pivotal point about what the Gemara's Kasha was or wasn't, depending on the one magic word Alma. Hopefully, from tomorrow we'll try to complete the sugya, but try to put some more touches on this.